can Gunnar Helm be a breakout star on this Tennessee Titans offense? That is the central question of our tight end positional training camp preview. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and I'm joined, as always, by the managing editor of Titan Sized and the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, we're continuing our training camp positional preview series, an annual series that we do over the course of 2 weeks. We started it yesterday with the offensive line, continuing today with the tight end room. And this year, we did something that we should have done last year, but we didn't. We have a central question for every position group. And the central question for the tight ends is, can Gunnar Helm break out and be a star on this Titans offense? We've heard him talk about the way that that Brian Daboll wants to use him, some clips that he's been shown, and cut-ups of Rob Gronkowski and other great tight ends. Gunnar Helm said something along the lines of, he's going to ask me to do things that usually you see a wide receiver do, which gives a lot of hope and a lot of hype to the idea that Helm can be that guy. But he does face target competition, not just from the receivers on this roster, but in his own room, as the Titans handed Daniel Bellinger a 3-year, $24 million contract this offseason. So the question is, can Gunnar Helm break out? We're also going to talk about which tight ends we think are going to make this roster and which tight ends will not. Six guys currently in the room, but starting with Gunnar Helm.
Yeah, I mean, nice rookie season for Gunnar Helm, kind of flashing occasionally while playing behind Chig. Obviously, Chig goes, but Daniel Bellinger comes. So, kind of see what the how the workload is split in this room. I've also, I think, said this on a few episodes now, but what's really interesting to me about this, and I did a deep dive and I wrote an article for Titan Sized a few weeks ago. The Titans ran the fewest, or the lowest, I probably is the better word, 12 personnel in the entire NFL last season. The lowest out of anyone. Brian Callahan is an 11 personnel guy. He loves his slot receivers. That's why he brought Tyler Boyd here in year one, Tyler Lockett in year two. Like, he loves his slot receivers. This is a good receiver room, right? We've talked about, so we think the Titans are going to continue running a fair bit of 11 personnel. But Brian Daboll, the new coordinator, ran way more 12 personnel than the Titans did a year ago. You factor in having two tight ends the way that they have, paying Bellinger, and also the trend of expanded tight end usage around the league, not just 12 personnel, but even 13 personnel, which I think is crazy, and I don't want to see the Titans in a lot of 13 personnel this year. They don't have three tight ends, and they've got a really good wide receiver room. But it's a question worth asking, right? Like, you look at the impact that that expanded tight end usage had this offseason in the NFL. In my opinion, a bunch of teams are reached on tight ends during the NFL draft. Marlon Klein to the Houston Texans is one that doesn't get talked about enough. It's obviously Jacksonville and Nate Borkercher that gets mentioned. The Rams took a second-round tight end for the second year in a row, which I thought was crazy, when they already have two veterans, by the way, in Colby Parkinson and Tyler Higbee. But not getting off topic, really curious about how this tight, not only how this tight end room is going to look, but how many heavier 12, 13 personnel looks Brian Daboll's going to use, and the type of impact that that'll actually have on both Gunnar Helm and Daniel Bellinger.
And one of the impacts it can have if the Titans do run more heavy sets, 12 or 13 personnel, is you take a receiver off the field for another tight end. Usually it's a blocking tight end. And I think the blocking tight end is Daniel Bellinger. That's why they signed him and paid him. They also believe he can function in the passing game, of course. But you take a receiver off the field, that's one less guy running a route that Gunnar Helm has to compete with for a target on any given play. So the more 12 and 13 you run, I think the more looks Gunnar Helm is going to get, because he's going to be either the second or third best receiving option on the field, whereas last year, most of the time, he was probably the fourth best receiving option on the field. If that, if you got Chigakonkwo on the field too, maybe he's the fifth best receiving option, or Tajay Spears leaking out of the backfield. Like, I think that changes a lot this year, and that that kind of answers the question of how this shift in personnel usage could increase Gunnar Helm's production. I think that that will be the case, and I do think he will be the primary receiving target from the tight end room. That said, Daniel Bellinger was catching 3 passes, 4 passes, 5 passes a day at times during Titans' rookie minicamp and OTAs, and was getting some buzz for being a receiver. I think his role is sort of going to be to like fake like he's blocking or maybe actually blocking for a second or two and then release as a short checkdown option for Cam Ward. And if the offensive line struggles and Ward has to get to his checkdown quicker, that could open the door for Bellinger to receive a lot more targets maybe than many people expect right now.
Yeah, sorry, mandatory minicamp. You said rookie minicamp. Daniel Bellinger was catching lots of passes at mandatory minicamp and OTA.
Obviously, not a rookie.
Yeah, but, you know, I struggle with this central question, to be blunt with you, because I do think Gunnar Helm is going to be the primary pass catcher at tight end this year. Full stop, no doubt about it. That alone should increase his production. I think he's going to get better as a sophomore, you know, take that typical second year step, not having to compete with Chig for those passing down targets. Like, as much as they think they're going to expand Daniel Bellinger's skill sets of pass catcher, he's not going to beat Chig, right? Like, I think we can all safely assume that. So Gunnar Helm being the primary pass catching tight end in the room, taking that second year leap, all strongly indicates that he is going to take a productive step forward. I guess the hang up for me is I don't think he's going to play a whole lot more than he did last year, because he was on the field for about 50% of snaps, if my memory serves me correctly. Does that increase to 55% this year? 56 probably, but I don't think it's going to rise above like 60%, because I think they're going to have a lot of three receiver sets, which means only one tight end on the field. And if that's the case, and I think Bellinger is going to get a lot of those opportunities too, because they paid him well. He's a better blocker. He knows Brian Daboll. He knows the offense. So I think there's a lot of factors at play here. But I'm excited about Gunnar Helm, and I do think he's going to be a very good and productive member of this Titans offense this season.
Yeah, there were some clips floating around last week of him out at tight end U.
Yeah.
George Kittle coaching these guys up, showing 49ers tape in a big meeting room, and then getting out on the field, running routes, catching passes from Brock Purdy and Mac Jones and whoever else was out there. I think, like, I don't want to undersell how much of a leap you, like, a player, including Gunnar Helm, can take from a rookie to their second year in the league. But I also do think opportunity is going to matter. And yeah, like you said, if they have some early down 11 personnel looks, that's probably Bellinger, because then the threat of the run is more prominent. And your effectiveness at blocking with only one tight end in the run game is better with Bellinger on the field than Helm. Now, Helm could take a step forward as a blocker. True, like that could happen. But I think, like, Gunnar Helm will be more productive. Is he going to be a breakout star? I don't know if I'd go that far. I want you guys to let us know in the comments if you think Gunnar Helm can be a breakout star this year. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, which tight ends get cut? That's the question as we head into training camp. Stay right there. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, everyone. All right, Justin, here is who all is in the tight end room as it stands right now. 6 guys as we head into training camp, barring a mid or late July signing that we don't see coming, which I don't really don't see coming, is Gunnar Helm and Daniel Bellinger at the top of the depth chart. They drafted Jaron Kanick this past draft, so he's a guy that's in the room and competing as well. They signed Kylan Granson in free agency. He's kind of more in the pass-catching mold than the blocking mold, so an interesting signing there because you'd think they have enough in the pass-catching mold. And then David Martin Robinson comes back, entering his third season. Joel Wilson comes back, entering his second season. I think the top two at this position room is solid, obvious. Like, we know it's Helm and Bellinger. Anybody from spots 3 through 6, I think, wouldn't be surprised to see that order be shaken up from what we expect. But I think what we expect is probably the rookie draft pick, Jaron Kanick, is the next guy. Probably Kylan Granson, the next guy, because they just signed him. Maybe you could flip those two. And then David Martin Robinson, 5th, Joel Wilson, 6th.
Yeah, I think the only certainty is that Joel Wilson's 6th and probably gets cut, in all honesty. 3 to 5, you can shuffle. Like, Jaron Kanick was the 7th-round pick. There's usually a leash that comes with that. But 7th-round picks get cut occasionally, right? Like, yeah. It's not impossible. I want to say David Martin Robinson. I usually check my phone. I think he led the team in special team snaps last year. Wow. And they were fairly impressed with David Martin Robinson on special teams. So I think that plays a slight role into this conversation. Kylan Granson, the signing, did take me by surprise. I remember writing that when I wrote the article on Titan Size when they added him. A bit undersized and compact. I wonder if they just wanted a different body type. Like, he's almost Chig-light from like a size and stature and skill set perspective. So I wonder if they just wanted to fill that Chig void with someone that is a poor man's version, in all honesty, because he's so different than Gunnar Helm and Daniel Bellinger in every which way. So that, I thought that was interesting. You know, Jaron Kanick is a former linebacker who might make a really smooth transition to special teams. And if he does, makes David Martin Robinson even more expendable, I would say. You don't feel as bad for cutting DMR, especially in relation to the special teams workload. And Jaron Kanick has some upside as a pass catcher. I mean, for a guy who just switched positions recently from linebacker to tight end, he made some plays in the passing game last year. He's pretty athletic. Remember, he drove the bus. Like, he went to the Oklahoma coaching staff and said he wanted to switch to tight end. So maybe he knew something that they didn't. So he's a guy I'm really excited to watch in preseason, by the way, because you figure he'll get a lot of reps. What does he show as a developing pass catcher? But this conversation to me isn't straightforward at all, and that makes it fun. I think they might keep 4 tight ends, and you could honestly convince me on any combination of 2 of them. Between Kanick, Martin Robinson, and Granson making this roster.
Yeah, Kanick last year at Oklahoma, his first year playing offense, had 44 catches for 533 yards.
Like what?
That is that for a college tight end. I don't think sometimes these numbers don't mean a lot to you when you just say them in the aggregate like that, but for a college tight end in his first year playing the position to have over 500 receiving yards, that is, like, damn impressive.
There were receivers drafted. Nate Borkircher went in the 2nd round. He doesn't have a single 200-yard season in 6 college football seasons that the guy Jacksonville took. I know they took him to block, but just to add context to your...
Right.
It's true. Like, a bunch of receivers that got drafted by Jaron Kanick did not have 500 receiving yards in college last season.
He was 3rd on OU's roster in receiving yards behind Deion Burks, who got drafted this year, and Isaiah Santegna, who I've never heard of, who had 965 yards last year. I don't know who he is, but 3rd on the team in receiving yards, highest non-wide receiver in receiving yards. I mean, that's impressive. So we definitely have to keep an eye out for, like you said, him during the preseason. I think that if I had to guess who makes the team right now, I would guess it's him and Granson, because look, it's a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
They brought their guys in. I do think David Martin Robinson, and you were absolutely right, 377 special team snaps last year, which led the team, 79.87% of the special team snaps. The fact that John Bones Fossil is back as a special teams coordinator again this year might give David Martin Robinson a leg up in this competition because of that familiarity. But if Kanick proves that he can play special teams and provide more value as a receiver than DMR, it might come down to who can block better and who's better on special teams. But Or maybe those two guys make it and they say, Kylan Granson, thanks for trying, but we actually don't need you. Sorry we signed you.
That'll be interesting, because if you remember when David Martin Robinson first made this team, like you talked about, and I'm not taking a shot at you or anything, but like you talked about Kanick being the better pass catcher, or potentially proving he's a better pass catcher. Like DMR initially endeared himself to this fan base because of the plays he made as a pass catcher in training camp in the preseason. Like he came here as a pass catcher, like a big receiver almost, and he's worked on his craft and he's gotten better on special teams, and that's why they've kept him around since. So I do think I agree with you. Like this is really hard for me to decide, but if I was a betting man, I'd probably go Kanick and Granson right now. And they could probably get DMR on the practice squad, and I think he'd be a shoehorn fit for the practice squad, like a guy they'll definitely add if it comes down to that. But I definitely think it's possible that DMR makes this team over Granson.
And if it's about who was better in college, Jaron Kanick, 533 yards, his only year playing tight end. DMR, 537 yards, his final year at Temple, where he was a tight end for 6 seasons. So he was there for a long time. And in only one of those seasons did he surpass Kanick's only
big reason
season
the Titans
tight
got him as a UDFA was how old he was, because he had a pretty good year at Temple that final year.
But we will see how this shakes out. It's going to be a fun one to track. I mean, it certainly depends on how many guys they keep, too. Like you mentioned, it could keep only 3 tight ends. I very, very, very highly doubt that they will keep 5 like they did in Brian Callahan's first year as the head coach here. For a guy who only ran 11 personnel, he kept 5 tight ends, Justin. Doesn't make any sense. But yeah, this is a big competition. And no disrespect to Joel Wilson. He doesn't really have a shot over these other guys to make the team. And I think if they only keep 4, then the 5th guy that we've been talking about, whoever it ends up being, is probably almost 100% a practice squad target and will be part of the 2026 Titans if he's not actually on the active roster.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they end up going 4 tight ends on the 53, because if you're going to run more 12, then you probably want 2 of the 2 additional ones on the roster. One might be inactive on game days, but I think you want that cover. And now, even if they have all 4 active on game day, you bet your butt, like a Kanick or a DMR, if they're the number 4 tight end, they're going to be very active on special teams, right? So you got to take that into account as well. Putting a bow on this position group as we start getting ready to close out this episode, I think it's a balanced room, a good unit. I think Gunnar Helm's athletic, takes a step forward as a pass catcher, is now obviously the primary in that role without Chig. I think Daniel Bellinger does a lot of good, selfless, dirty work as the primary blocker, but has some upside as a pass catcher, maybe some untapped potential. Now that he's got a real quarterback, he never had one with the New York Giants, and getting comfortable every year in this Brian Daboll system. I'm excited about this room. It's balanced. It's effective. And by the way, I'm really excited about what tight end coach Luke Stalker does with this room, a potential future offensive coordinator for the Titans. In my opinion, if Brian Daboll gets another head coaching job, I think Luke Stalker is going to be the primary candidate to be promoted to that. I don't think they'd hire from outside. I think they would try to promote from within. And I think Luke Stalker would be incredibly high, maybe even number 1 on that list alongside like a Shea Tierney if he doesn't just follow Daboll like he has most of his career. I can see Shea Tierney going to be a non-play-calling offensive coordinator for Daboll if he ever gets another head coaching gig. So good young pass catcher in this room, veteran blocker who knows the system, ascending position coach in Luke Stalker, and also a rookie that we're going to be excited to watch in training camp and the preseason. This is a more exciting position group than the average Titans fan. The average Titans fan thinks. I think that's going to do it for our tight end position preview. Drop your comments below. What do you think about the type of year Gunnar Helm is going to have? How involved do you think Daniel Bellinger is going to be? Who do you think makes the roster? Is it 3 or is it 4? And how do you feel about the Kanick, Martin Robinson, Kylan Granson debate that we just had? Lots of questions at tight end. And how do you feel about Luke Stalker as well? I'm curious to get the answer to those questions as well. Drop those comments below. Lots of central questions. The biggest one, do you think Gunnar Helm's going to be a breakout stud? Drop your comments. We'll reply to you during this quiet Titans period. We'll be back tomorrow with another Titans positional preview.
Running backs tomorrow. Excited to dig into another position group that feels solid at the top, but very competitive at the back end. Very similar to the tight end room. And so until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there. And tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.